Because I've been working in the field of global health for the last 20 years or so, and that was after a 20-year career as an international business transactions lawyer, where I worked with the private sector, and in fact I represented a number of UN embassies in New York, where my office was located. Many of them were from the Arab world. Some of you have asked me in the last few days, yesterday, what do I do? Because I think I'm kind of an odd creature, in that lawyers don't generally work in the field of health development, so some of you may not have experienced what a lawyer does in international development. So I thought I'd take a moment just to tell you a little bit more about what I do, so you have a sense of this. First of all, I did get a master's in public health mid-career from Johns Hopkins, so I have an MPH, but at bottom I'm a lawyer. And my purpose in getting an MPH and entering in this field is because I saw in the 80s, when I had my office in New York City, people dying from AIDS. I was living in one of the epicenters of the disease, and it was very strange to me. My mother's a nurse, by the way, so I had grown up in and around the hospital situation. And I kept asking myself, there's got to be something that I can do, given my background. And so I started to explore the field, and I thought, well, for sure, there's a need for lawyers in this field. Well, there wasn't at first. It took a while. And over the last 20 years, there has been a growing awareness of the importance of the role of law in the field. And here we are today in the SDGs, as well as in our conversation around good governance. So I'm very happy to see that. I did all kinds of things as a typical lawyer would do in the private sector. I wrote contracts and I did litigation. I was a bankruptcy trustee at one time, where I was a forensic investigator, as well as I represented some governments. So now my work is working with countries, where I do a lot of work in developing the health sector laws and regulations. And that really involves, at the very essence of it, institution building. Because as the laws are written, we're really creating the rules of the rules of business for the institutions in which we work. So there's much more that I do than drafting a basic text of law. Anyway, let's go on from there. So what we're going to talk about today is what is rule of law and why is it important? And how is rule of law expressed or demonstrated in medicine's regulation? I have only an hour or so, so I can't tell you everything about the rule of law, but what I can give you is a sense of the concepts and the principles and the ideas that show up within it and that you began to learn about yesterday when we talked about the relationship between SDG 3 and 16. There's really work ahead to describe in detail the kinds of actions that can be undertaken in a way that you can select among the many choices the course of action that works in your country. And so I've given you some exercises today that will give you some introduction to this. But at the end of the day, your action plans are very specific to your countries because each of your profiles are different. And while some of you have expressed the same hopes and concerns about what you think you want to put into your action plans, when we talk about the rule of law and bringing it into your action plans, I invite you to really consider bringing in your legal advisors to the situation. Because at the country level, your action plan elements that may reflect the rule of law will require the help of your lawyers. And I know that there's one other lawyer in the room today, and from Tunisia, who works in the legal department, and we have also a law student who is working in the MRA but is getting a degree in law. I'm very happy to see that in the room today. So I'm going to give you some examples. And another lawyer. Oh, welcome. Okay, thank you. All right. And so also, I want to say to you, please interrupt me if you have a question or you want me to explain something any more than I've already done. I don't like to wait to the very end of what I say for us to go into Q&A. Now, you've all seen this definition of good governance. This is directly from the WHO. And I've added something on the bottom. And it says it brings in rule of law. And I've also indicated that the framework components reflect rule of law as well. So this idea is in the conversation everywhere we turn. We heard yesterday about rule of law and the SDG 16, so I'm not going to spend any time on that. We had a very good introduction to it, and I just pulled a few of the 10 elements of SDG 16 that I think are relevant to our conversation. What I want you to notice in these definitions is that suddenly we're seeing the same words show up again and again. In the definition in the GGM, we're talking about reducing corruption. We're talking about accountable and effective regulatory institutions and transparent institutions. MRA is an institution, by the way. And that we want to see participation. And these concepts keep showing up. Now, what the legal community says about rule of law is also very similar. And I want you to know that the rule of law concept is not new. Let me see by a show of hands. What year did Hammurabi's code get written? What year were they chiseled on that stone?
The salt.
What year was that? What's your guess? Do you know for sure? Not in the notes.
Hammurabi.
When was Hammurabi's code written into stone?
The law of no law.
Well, we didn't have to define that it was a good law or a bad law, but when was it written down? 3,000 before Christ? That's a good guess. That's a very good guess. A little later in time than that. Anybody else have an idea? It's written that it was done in the 1700s BC. So 1700 years BC, Hammurabi's code was written into stone. Why is that important? It was essentially a set of rules about the law. Now, we don't have to debate that they were all good, because cutting off hands is probably not a good punishment for a child who steals. But nonetheless, the rule of law concept is very old. It has just arrived into the development conversation in the SDGs in a real and substantive way. And it's also interesting to know that the consultations that happened around the world to come up with the elements of the SDGs were very clear that rule of law was an important element for the SDGs, and also very clear that it should be integrated with all the other goals. So what does it say in the law? What do lawyers say? And this is an exact quotation from something called the World Justice Project, which was started in 2006 by the former president of the American Bar Association, who happened to have been Bill Gates' lawyer. So he had a lot of money. And he wanted to do something that was important to the world, and I think he's done exactly that. And he's created a project, the World Justice Project, which puts out something called the Rule of Law Index, which we're going to look at shortly. And they do all kinds of programs around the world to fund projects to build rule of law, excuse me, and to put out the word, what does rule of law look like? So we see again the very same ideas, that governments are accountable, the very first ones, that the laws are clear and publicized. That is the essence of transparency when it comes to everything we do. That they're applied evenly, that they protect fundamental rights. Is the right to health a fundamental right? It sure is. And so is the right to information. These are in our international human rights treaties. The process by which the laws are enacted, administered, which is what you administer the law, is accessible and fair, which means people in the system we live in can get justice. And also, it's justice is delivered by competent, independent persons. So rule of law is something that is universal, and it's not, these are ideas that are in every single legal system. All of your legal systems have these very same principles in them. Now, whether or not they're expressed in day-to-day life is another story, right? We know that. So rule of law is then measured, and we'll look at the measurement index in a minute. There are 9 factors that measure the rule of law. We are going to focus our attention on factor number 6, which is regulatory enforcement, because all of you are regulators, You work in a regulatory institution, it's your task to enforce the law. But again, we see the very same ideas. We see absence of corruption in factor number two, open government, which is now being developed into another index. We need just another index measurement. We're going to get one. Fundamental human rights, etc. And there's informal justice, criminal justice, and civil justice. And so these are the ways in which we measure rule of law. And we're only going to look at factor number six. Now, this is a scatter plot. You're all familiar with scatter plots. What is this telling you? This is drawn from these countries have undergone the rule of law evaluation, which is a self-administered tool, by the way. It is done methodologically correct. And these are their scores in the rule of law, and these are their infant mortality rates. So what is this telling us? Any guesses?
Higher the score in the rule of law, the lower is the infant mortality rate.
Yes, that's exactly right. Everybody hear that? The higher the score in the rule of law, the lower the infant mortality rate. What do you think would happen if we compared rule of law with access to medicine down here? What do you think would happen? What would this plot look like?
Same.
It would look the same. That's exactly right. In 2010, I did some studies with the WHO headquarters medicines office where we did exactly that. We plotted with the access to medicines indicators that WHO uses and rule of law, and we found the same result. And that study is in the WHO archive somewhere, which I can give you a link to it if you would like. So this is a very important understanding that there's something that happens when rule of law is protected, and it shows up in health. By the way, earlier studies compared earlier kinds of measures, such as anti-corruption measurements of corruption, government effectiveness that the World Bank had been developing over in the mid-2000s, and they were also contrasted with health indicators. And that's the work of Maureen Lewis. You can look her up and you can see what she did. So your first exercise today is to go to the World Justice Project website. The 2015 data is there. The 2016 results are done. They were released on October 20th, but as of yesterday, I can't find the report on their website yet. I just don't think that they've moved fast enough to post it. What I'd like you to do is find your country in the Rule of Law Index and have a look what it says about your country. Now, not all of your countries have been measured. If your country has not been measured, what I'd like you to do is estimate your score. Just have a little fun with it. We're not going to be able to do this completely because there's not enough time. And you can do that by just looking at similar countries to yours, or you can look across the EMRO region. That would be another way of doing it if you want to look for similarities. Or you can take the questionnaire, which is highlighted there. And this questionnaire is about public health. I have worked on this questionnaire with the project and putting together the questions. And some of them have to do with access to medicines. So all of you have internet on your computers. You can punch these in. And we're going to do this for 10 minutes. It's now 25 after 9. And 10 more minutes, what I'm going to do is interrupt you and ask one country. I'm going to ask one country to report. Okay? Okay.